Have you ever wondered why you're so tired in the morning after a night of drinking? And maybe it wasn't a night of heavy drinking. Maybe it was just a couple glasses of wine. In this episode, we talk all about that. Plus, I'll let you know why the only thing you should do in your bedroom is sleep. Yep, you got that right. The only thing you should do in your bedroom is sleep. So go on to the show and let me know what you think. Welcome to Think Beyond the Drink. This podcast is for women who want to unravel their relationship with alcohol and other vices without labels, stigma, or judgment. We focus on things that give us energy, not take from it. This is for women who want to feel the aliveness and vitality in their life again, who want deep, intimate connections and a purpose-driven life. When you wake up in the morning, do you pull the covers over your head wishing that the day was already over? Do you peek open one eye, dreading the sunlight to hit it? Do you hit the snooze button 2 to 3 times before you actually get up? If that sounds like you, I totally get it. I used to be there as well. When I drank 3 to 4 times a week, I would remember the days that I drank the night before would drag on and on. I would never feel like jumping out of bed, ready to start the day. And actually, if anybody had ever suggested that I might actually one day love that, I would roll my eyes. And even though I didn't feel great the next day after drinking, I always thought it was due to the amount of alcohol that I drank and not because it actually messed with my sleep. I mean, to be quite frank, I'd pass out. I would sleep hard until about 3 a.m. when my eyes would pop open and the list of to-dos would start scrolling through my head. Anybody else? Does that sound familiar to me, to you? And I remember on the days that I wouldn't drink and I would wake up and I would actually feel refreshed, like I was ready to conquer all of the to-dos and was quite productive and felt really accomplished at the end of the day. And then I remember I would always want to celebrate with a cocktail. It was this vicious cycle that I honestly had no idea that I was in. So if you find that that sounds familiar to you and you don't actually quite recognize or you didn't quite recognize that you were in that cycle until now, I've been there and we are not alone. So many other people have experienced the same thing. But today what we're going to actually do is get into the nitty-gritty about sleep structure or what's also known as sleep architecture. And how alcohol disrupts all of this, what's considered good sleep hygiene. So stay to the end if you want to really know some of the tips and tricks in order to get really good, delicious, luxurious sleep. And y'all, sleep is really one of my favorite topics. I absolutely love sleep. And like I just mentioned, I didn't realize what poor sleep I was getting until I took an extended break from alcohol. And I really then fell in love with what sleep did, not only to my clarity and to my energy and productivity, but also to my skin and to the brightness of my eyes. I mean, it's just this free tool that we all have access to that we're not using enough. So yes, join me as I talk about my love for sleep. And I hope by the end of this podcast, you are also going to love sleep just as much as I am, and you'll look forward to cozying up in your high thread count sheets in a cool dark room wearing your eye mask and really getting excited about hitting all of the cycles of sleep every night and waking up ready to start the day. Okay, so let's just go ahead and dive right in. So a lot of women that I have worked with have talked about how alcohol actually helps them sleep. So when I mention to them how alcohol actually disrupts your sleep, they're not quite buying it. And the reason is because they've used alcohol for so long to help them sleep that they can't imagine not having that as a sleep aid. It's their way of self-medicating, if you will. And it really does help initiate sleep, but it does not help keep us asleep. So there are three things that matter when we're really looking at what's considered a good night's sleep. We're going to look at our sleep quality and whether the time spent sleeping is actually restorative. The third thing is duration. And although duration is important, so how many hours you actually get, it doesn't matter if the quality and the time spent in restorative sleep isn't sufficient. If it's disruptive by alcohol or other types of drugs or stress or illness, then that can disrupt our duration, our quality of sleep, and if the sleep's restorative or not. So do you guys ever wonder, those of you who have kids or who have babysat or who have heard of other parents who talk about when they have an infant and their infant will sleep for 60 to 90 minutes and then wake up kind of on the hour, on the clock, that's all due to an infant completing their sleep cycle. And it's very common that they'll wake up at the end of their sleep cycle, needing to be soothed to go back into the stages of sleep. So sleep cycles, when we're talking about quality of sleep and whether it's restorative, we'll look at, in this episode, the components of a sleep cycle, and we'll also look at brain activity. And we'll really look at brain activity in the form of brain waves. And brain waves have been measured when somebody is resting or asleep or active through an EEG. And an EEG is an electroencephalogram. So they put little sensors on the scalp and they measure brain activity. And the more active the brain, the higher the waves are. And the more rested or in our unconscious level, the slower and lower the brain waves are. So we have the beta brain waves, which are really active. That's when we're alert, awake, and learning. And then we have next the alpha. This is when we're resting. And then we go into our stages of actual sleep. And there are four of them. You have three non-rapid eye movement stages and one rapid eye movement stage. We really should be getting about 4 to 6 of these stages per night. We should progress smoothly through these sleep cycles. And if we do so, then we're getting high quality rest. All right. So the first stage is the first 1 to 7 minutes. You're really easy to awaken in this stage. And these are the theta waves. Remember, we were talking about the brain waves. This is the theta wave. Stage 2 can last for about 10 to 25 minutes during this first cycle. And basically what that means is you'll go through all 4 stages 4 to 6 times a night. And each of these 4 stages will get longer as the night progresses. So in your first sleep cycle in stage 2, you'll be there for about 10 to 25 minutes. And collectively, people spend about half their sleep in the stage 2 cycle. Then we have stage 3, which is considered deep sleep. These are the delta waves, and it's harder to wake somebody up. They're in this phase. Their muscle tone and pulse and breathing rate has decreased in this stage. The body is really relaxed. When we're in this stage, it really helps bolster our immunity and recovery and growth. And even though the brain is really reduced, the activity of the brain is really reduced, it's in the slow wave sleep, it really does help with thinking and creativity and memory. And then we have the oh so important REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep. This is when our brain activity picks up a little bit, nearing the levels of actually when we're awake. But at the same time, our body is in this temporary paralysis, except for the eyes and the muscles that control our breathing. And REM sleep is believed to be essential for cognitive function and memory. This is when we have our most vivid dreams. And when you know that you have had sufficient REM sleep throughout your sleep cycles, you'll wake up feeling refreshed. So how does alcohol get in the way of our stages of sleep? So alcohol and other drugs can affect our sleep architecture, you know, as well as what we talked about, stress and illness, that can affect our sleep structure too. But alcohol initially acts as a sedative. Like we mentioned again before, that it does help people initially fall asleep because it is a sedative. And since it is a sedative, it increases the portion of deep sleep that we get at the beginning of the night. So we go into deep sleep more quickly. So we might skip some of those other stages or move more rapidly through those other stages and get straight to deep sleep. However, as alcohol starts to wear off, the body spends more time in light sleep, which is not as sound and may even lead to more nighttime awakenings. And as a result, we'll feel more tired in the morning because we're getting fewer hours of sleep. And the more time spent in this deep, dreamless, non-rapid eye movement sleep, the less time we spend in REM sleep. And why does this matter? Because REM sleep is crucial for healing, retaining memory, and feeling rested. Again, like I mentioned before, how you know you've gotten good REM sleep through your nighttime sleep cycles is you wake up feeling refreshed. So as alcohol wears off during the night, the body rebounds and signals that it's spent enough time in deep sleep. And that means the rest of the night, you're going to be spent in lighter sleep. And when you're in lighter sleep, the brain is more active. When it has a drug like alcohol in it, what it does is try to come back to homeostasis. It tries to come back to this balance. So when alcohol is in our body and it's affecting things like GABA, which make us feel more calm, and glutamate, which makes us feel a little bit more excited, and all of the other neurotransmitters and hormones in our body, when alcohol affects that, our body tries to compensate. It tries to make up for this foreign substance that's in our body. It's beautiful that way. But what happens is that when alcohol wears off, then we can have these rebound effects and withdrawal effects. So yes, if you drink anything at all, you have a withdrawal from it. We have withdrawals from toxins. That's just the way that our body works. And we will feel the effects of those withdrawals from the toxins. That's what a hangover is. So calm down, everyone. We all will have withdrawals from alcohol if we drink alcohol. But the rebound effect to the sedation of alcohol is stimulation. And as the sedative effects of alcohol wear off, the central nervous system goes to this hyperarousal state. We feel restless and we wake up earlier in the morning or throughout the evening or throughout the night. And the withdrawal effects can also cause these psychological effects like anxiety and agitation, which makes it harder to sleep. So anybody have that moment where your eyes pop open at 3 a.m. in the morning after a night of drinking and you just start mentally scrolling through all of your to-do lists, or you're replaying a conversation that you had over and over and over again, or you start thinking about some tragedy that could occur with a family member? I mean, crazy stuff can happen when we have these withdrawal psychological effects from alcohol in the middle of the night. And so just to let you know, that's alcohol. This is a rebound withdrawal effect from alcohol as it wears off, which in a way can be comforting, right? So we just know that this is our body trying to come back into homeostasis. It's basically like at 3 a.m. when alcohol wears off, then we're throwing coffee right on our brain that causes us to be extremely alert and active. So I love learning about the nitty-gritty of this. Maybe it's the science brain of mine. Maybe it's because I'm human design 1-3 and love to investigate and research. I hope that you find this information as equally as interesting as I do. Alcohol and the other effects that it has on our sleep is it changes the temperature of our bodies, increases it and decreases it. You could have sleep-related breathing issues. Have you ever hung out with somebody who's drank too much and they're snoring? It's a diuretic, so it can cause you to urinate more often during the night. It also can drop your blood sugar. Anyway, so alcohol has many effects on the body, many effects on the brain. And I invite you to just be curious about how you sleep after one or two drinks. So as you guys most likely know by now, is that I'm not a teetotaler. I'm not 100% alcohol free. I have one to two drinks every 3 weeks or so. And anytime that I have just one drink, I don't sleep as well. Even if I have it like at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, one drink, 5 o'clock in the afternoon with some food, and I go to bed at 9 or 10, I still feel like I don't sleep as well. Yes, a little of it may be mental. A little of it may be the fact that I'm just really in tune with my body. And like I said earlier in this episode, I love sleep. Sleep is my best friend. It makes me feel so good. And so anytime it's just slightly off, I'm really hyper aware of it. So sleep hygiene is extremely important. What affects our sleep hygiene is what we put in our body. So even if we eat a big bowl of ice cream the night before we go to sleep, that can affect our sleep. If we have a huge meal an hour or so before we go to sleep, that can affect our sleep hygiene and our sleep cycles. So just be, I invite you just to be more aware of what affects your sleep or not. And one of the things I always used to mention to my patients when we would talk about sleep hygiene is making sure that the only thing that you do in your bedroom is sleep. Yes, the only thing you do in your bedroom is sleep. Remove everything else from your bedroom, like your phone. And if you have to keep it in your room, put it in a drawer and close the drawer. A TV, if you have a TV and you're used to watching TV in your room, remove the TV from your room. Get high quality, luxurious sheets and just love slipping into them in the evening. Make sure the temperature of your room is around 68 to 70. The studies have shown that that increases the quality of our sleep when we sleep in a cool environment. Have blackout curtains, or in my case, I use a sleep mask to block out all of the light. Use white noise or essential oils. Those two things can be really supportive of a good night's sleep. And remember, the only thing you're doing in your bedroom is sleeping. So that means that if you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep, or it's harder for you to go to sleep in the evenings, you remove yourself from the bedroom. You move yourself to the living room. You sit on the couch until you're sleepy. Then you go back to the bedroom and try again. Because if you don't, then you're really setting up the habit of not sleeping in your bedroom. And that can just be a vicious, vicious cycle. And so to be more supportive for you, I invite you to really keep a calendar and mark on your calendar when you sleep well. Track your menstrual cycle with that as well, because that can be very supportive and tell you a lot about where you are in your cycle. And then track the foods that you ate, if you drink alcohol, how much alcohol. And if you are waking up worried about something, you can always make a list of everything that you're worried about when you're sitting on the couch, not in your bedroom, not thinking about it in your mind. Just remove yourself from the room, open your journal and write out all the things that you're concerned about so you can look at it in the morning. All right. As always, I hope this was helpful. And go ahead and follow me over at Think Beyond the Drink and Instagram and DM me there if you have any questions about this episode. Good night's sleep. The world needs the vibrance and wisdom of a woman's intuition to help heal the world. When we learn to trust ourselves through leaning into and through discomfort, we learn to trust ourselves, and in that space is our power and clarity.